Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Lord, this may have been the first time this week, or maybe in 10 days, maybe in a month, maybe in years, or maybe in our whole lives that we've ever just said, Lord, we know that you are great just because of who you are. Regardless of anything else going on in the world or in our lives, Lord, we are proclaiming that you are the King of Kings, Lord, that you are the great one, you are the famous one, you are the creator of all of heavens and earth, and Lord, you do give us our very breath. Lord, not just the fact that we have lungs that you created, Father, but the air that's around us, you give it to us. And so, Lord, I'm just thankful. Lord, I just want to proclaim, and maybe we just need to continue to proclaim, that you are great. You are great. It's the labor of your love for us on the cross. It's your sacrifice, Lord, that gives us this opportunity to gather today in your holy name. Gives us an opportunity to partake and to receive your gift of communion. It gives us the opportunity to show someone that we care for them because of your great love for us. Lord, I just pray that we would take this with us when we go home, when we go to school, when we go to work. This gratitude, understanding who you are in us. So Lord, I pray for each and every person, Lord, online or in this room, somebody that's watching later in life, doesn't even matter when or how, that they hear this message, Lord, that they would just turn to you right now and just say, Lord, that you are great. Lord, I recognize you as my Lord and Savior. Lord, that we look to you for our healing. We look to you for our reconciliation in relationships. We look to you for our forgiveness. We look to you in all things. Lord, the answer to our finances, the answer to our brokenness, the answers to our marriages, the answer to our relationships. Lord, the conviction of our sin. Lord, the freedom of guilt. Lord, the list just goes on and on and on because you are our all in all. So Lord, fill us. Let us consciously empty ourselves so you can fill us. That's my prayer for us today. It's in the powerful and holy name of Jesus that we make our prayer. And all the people said, amen. You may be seated. Want to pray for your finances, take up an offering right now. You can do that online. There's baskets out in the hallway or in the back of the room. You can do a one-time gift, recurring gift, whatever you want to do. If you're a guest with us today, don't feel any obligation. If you're a Christian and you know what God's calling you to do, as I always say, please follow him in what he's asking. Lord God, we are yours, and so since we are yours, all of our stuff is yours as well. Lord, I know we work hard. Lord, we save and we buy and we do all these different things, Lord, but really it all comes from you. And so I just ask that we would be obedient, just as Ashley was just talking about, Lord, that we would be obedient in giving back to you that which you ask for, which is only a tenth, just a small percentage. We get to keep 90% and you ask us to give 10% back. And with that 10%, Lord, you do immeasurably more than we could ever possibly imagine with all the resources we have, Lord. And as we hear your holy word today, Lord, that's your message. And so, Lord, be with us in our finances. Lord, it's important to us. And so, Lord, I know it's important to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to look quickly at Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 23. If you've been to church, if you've been a Christian for pretty much any amount of time, you've heard of the feeding of the 5,000, the loaves and the fishes. The little boy has the little bit of food, and Jesus turns it into a multitude and feeds 5,000. I'm going to read that to you today to get to a particular point to talk about us and our ministry here today. And so now, what this talks about is the same God, okay? The reason I'm reading this and we're talking about it is the same God that you hear in this passage of Scripture is the same God that is with us right now. The same God that does this miracle is the same God that does miracles in our life. And so the point being that we have this same power, we have this same passion and compassion coming in us and through us that you hear right here. Now, when you hear this first passage, this first sentence, know that Jesus had just heard about John the Baptist being beheaded, okay? And so here we go. It says, now when Jesus heard about John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. And when the people heard of this, they followed him on foot from the cities. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, this place is desolate, and the hour is already late, so send the crowds away that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves. Okay, so think about it. If you can think about Lubbock, okay, and you think about Abernathy and Shallow Water and New Home and Idaloo and New Deal, all these little places around us, that's kind of what we're talking about. Okay, they all came to Lubbock to hear Jesus. So, but Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. But they said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, bring them here to me. Ordering the people to sit down on the grass, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking towards heaven, he blessed the food and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied. They picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, and there were 12 baskets full. There were about 5,000 men who ate, and there were also women and children. Immediately, he made the disciples get into a boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray, and when it was evening, he was there alone. So I want to talk about this idea of this quick miracle for us and how it applies to us today. It's Labors of Love Sunday. You see cookies up here, and they have little labels on them. It says, a gift from you, from St. Luke's Lubbock. And we're going to take one of these. You are going to take one of these, your family, and you're going to go out and to a business or to a neighbor and give that to them just to show them the love of Christ. And just to say, our church wants to just show you some love. Our church wants to let you know that we are thinking about you and that Christ is thinking about you, and we just want to give you these cookies. That's it. What does that have to do with feeding the 5,000? Well, because it is multiplication. It is a little bit of something going out into the world and doing a lot more than you could ever imagine. Because you're also going to pray before you go see these people. You're also going to pray before you go into Stripes or before you go to your neighbor's house. And however, whoever you're going to, you're going to pray over these that God would multiply the love, the compassion, to give it to somebody. And that love and compassion would grow into something else. Might be a homeless person, might be somebody on the corner, whatever it is. And so that's where we want to go today, because here's what we do. Is we forget about what we have here, or if you're watching online, what we have that Christ gives us, we forget when we go out into the world. We forget what God has done for us, and so we forget to pass it on to others. I've said for at least 25 or 30 years, it only takes me about 24 hours to forget what God has done for me. Some great miracle, some answered prayer, some encounter that I've had with one of you, and then when tomorrow comes around and I wake up, I've already forgotten, I get back into my routine, and I just keep going about my business. That's not what God wants. That's not what Christ wants. But the disciples did the exact very same thing too, because the disciples said, when you think about this miracle, what the disciples said, hey, let's send them back home, okay? It's just right over there. It's not like they have to journey 2 or 3 days to get home. No, let's just send them back to where they came from this morning and send them home to eat. And Jesus says, no, leave them here, which tells me that he has something to tell them. He has something more to teach them. He has more to say. But yet, as soon as the miracle's over, he sends the disciples away, and then he sends all the 5,000 plus people away. He doesn't say anything else to them. He just fed them. That's what the disciples wanted to do. So why did Jesus have them come? Why did Jesus have you come today? Why does Jesus have you in this place in your life today when maybe you could have done it just a little differently and really have the same outcome ultimately? Because Jesus wants us to see his power. He wants us to see how he moves. He wants us to see it's not about cookies. It's about compassion. It's not about bread. It's about power. And the disciples missed it. Because the great thing is when Jesus does this, Jesus really could have. Jesus didn't have to feed the 5,000 for them to be fed. All Jesus really had to do was give them a benediction. All he had to do was say, we're done, just like I could every Sunday. I could say that really the best part about coming to worship on Sunday is the music, and you already sang, you already proclaimed all of the Word of God. That's good enough. Y'all just go home. But you would miss out on something else that God had for you. And sometimes, I think it's just for me. I think sometimes when I have something to say to you, it's really, I should have just said it to myself. Where are you in life today? Why are you in this place? Maybe not in this chair you're in, maybe not where you're at online today, but this place in life. What is God trying to show you? Show you through all those things that Ashley just said about obedience and about patience and about showing people love and about trust. Those are perfect illustrations of what God's trying to show these people. And so, and here's the deal, is after Jesus did this, they had all of these leftovers. There was more to give. It wasn't just about them. It's not just about us. It's not just about me. It's about all the leftovers inside of me that God wants me to give to everyone else. It's not just about us. It's not just about you coming here on Sunday. I've said forever, Sunday really is just the icing on the cake. Sunday really is just the part of the greatest part of my week to go out and do the work of the week. The greatest part of what today is, it's the empowerment. It's the, you get retooled to go out into the work to do the new thing God wants you to do. And that's really what this miracle was all about. It really wasn't about filling their bellies with food. It was about filling their lives with his Spirit. Some of them got it. Some of them didn't. I think that's just like us today. So why did Jesus take a little boy's lunch? Depends on which passage of scripture you read, which disciple's telling it. Like for me in Matthew, it's just, hey, they brought this food. No, a little boy had 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. They confiscated this boy's lunch. That's my joke. And gave it to Jesus and said, here, you think you're going to feed these 5 people? Give me that food. And he hands it to Jesus. And Jesus takes it and he gives thanks for it. Are you giving thanks for where God has you today? Are you giving thanks for the provisions that he has given you today? Are you giving thanks for all the things that you don't think you have, but you have just enough? Are you giving thanks? Because that's the first thing he did. It wasn't about the food. It was about the circumstance, and it was about giving thanks for the circumstance. He gave thanks because I know he was thanking God for just what he had, but he was also thanking God for the fact that he got to have a teachable moment. That's the worst part for me, by the way. I don't ever like to know that I'm in a situation and go, oh, this is absolutely miserable. I hate this, and thank you, God, for teaching me something. No, that's not what I say. That is not what I say. When we needed to trade my daughter's car in to get her another car because of all sorts of reasons, and I have this great laid-out plan, by the way. I had money saved for college. I had it all put away. I had it literally in envelopes, and I had it in accounts. And we had almost just enough, but by the time she got to the end, we would have just enough. And then here comes this deal with a car. And as I'm sitting in the living room and I see this replacement car out on the street, all I can think of is there's a semester of college parked on the curb. Thank you, God, for teaching me a lesson. Because I saw no lesson in it, and Robin comes through, and as I'm really sulking, I mean, I was not in a good place over this deal because it was all going to work out perfectly like I always think it is, and as I walk by, I'm sitting in a chair, I'm looking out through my front window, in the living room, and Robin, my wife, she pats me on the leg, and she said, "Thank God we had it." "No, that was my money." "No, not thank God we had it. You were, go on." Right? Give thanks. Here's what we had. It's not what the little boy thought that he was going to do with it. It's not what the disciples thought they were going to do with it, but it's what Jesus knew that he could do with it. What can God do with you today? And then here's the deal. After all that happened, and here's where I want to land, and here's where I want to move you out into the world today, is they got into a boat. Jesus says, "Okay, disciples, y'all go," and he gave them some directions. They got in a boat, and they went away. And let's skip over to chapter 16, Matthew chapter 16, picking up on the story just a little bit. And he says this, chapter 16, verses 5 through 12. When they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. He just did this great miracle. There were 12 basketfuls of bread left over, bread and fish left over, and they didn't take any with them. See, me, just 24 hours for me to forget what God has done for me, 24 hours to forget the blessings, or however long that was, a few minutes. And they, when they got out onto the lake, when they got to where they were going, they went, "Oh, I'm hungry. I need something to fill me." And Jesus said, "I just gave you everything you needed to fill you." And yet they didn't have it with them. Be careful, Jesus said. "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." They discussed this among themselves and said, "It is because we didn't bring any bread." Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, "You of little faith, why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls you gathered? How is it you don't understand that I was not talking to you about bread? But be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." They understood that he was not telling them to guard against the yeast and the bread, but against the teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. See, he was saying that it's to teach you about the power. It's to teach you that the world wants you to think one way. I want you to think another. The world wants you to do everything your own. I want you to do it by my power. The world wants you to do this. But yet, I know there's a better way for you. And yet, they still, and this happened again, and it happened again, and it happened again. I mean, we are just like those original disciples in so many ways. Not just forgetful, but also filled with His Holy Spirit, filled with His power. So today, it's not about the physical bread, but it is about the bread from heaven, which is Jesus Christ. How many times do you forget? I know I do. I do. I get into a situation and I don't remember to pray. I get into a situation and I want to do it all myself instead of asking for direction. I see an opportunity and it looks great and I start making plans to go that way. And then I remember, oh, I really should ask God if that's the way I should go. All the time. I see people and I see circumstances and I think about how I can do it. And I wonder what Jesus would do. How would he want me to handle it? How would he want me to react? How would he want me to respond, if at all? That's where we're at today in this, because it's not the physical bread, it's the bread of life. It's Jesus. We come here week after week, we worship, we hear his holy word, we pray, we give our money so we can do more things out in the community and in the kingdom, and then we walk away, and what else do? Week after week after week. It's all about you today. I know I always say it's all about Jesus. It is, but it's about Jesus in you today. Because Jesus didn't take that bread and multiply it for 5,000 people and walk to every person and hand it to them individually. You notice he said he gave it to the disciples. And the disciples went out, 12 of them, or however many were there. They weren't all there. They went out and they handed it to some people. And then guess what they did? They handed it to some people. And then they handed it to some people. And it finally got to all 5,000. It didn't happen instantaneously, and it took a while. See, it's up to us to take what God has given us and go out into the world and to hand people Jesus, to hand people his love, to hand people his compassion. And it really is, I know you don't believe me, but it really is as easy as handing them a box of cookies. It seems silly. And it might be to someone, but I know when we pray over this, when you pray over this and you do it in the light of Christ into somebody's life, I believe eventually it will change their life. They may not know it, they may not understand it, but I believe that it will. I believe that we have that power because we have the power of Christ inside of us. Because Jesus, when he's talking to him, he says this. Remember, he said, "Do you not remember?" See, what Jesus is trying to do for them and for us today is to remind them, okay, remind them of what God has done for them in the past to prepare them for what God is going to do with them in the future. Remember what God has done for you. Even if it's just, if you can just think of one thing in your all of your life, he's preparing you for what he's going to do next. It's his power, it's his grace, it's his mercy. It's God who took what the disciples had and used it for his good. It's God that's going to take what you have and do it for his good. And that's what this is about, communion. It's about just taking this bread, it's taking about what's common to us, and it's about using it for his good. It's about taking just what he had. God said to Jesus, "You're going to go and do this." And Jesus said, "This is my body. This is what I have. This is what I have. And I'm giving it for you." And then he took the cup, and those disciples were looking at him. And he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." He said, "This is what I have." He goes, "And I'm giving it for you." What do you have? You have the Holy Spirit. You have the power of Christ. You have the compassion and the knowledge of the grace of God that you can give to others. That's what we have, and that's what we should give away, because there's really nothing I have in me on my own that's worth giving anybody, and I mean that so sincerely. If I wanted to give away, it would be my selfishness, it would be my conceitedness, it would be whatever, all those things that I don't want that I want to give away. But what God calls us to is to give him away. So when you come today, believe it or not, this is the end. This is the benediction. You come and you take Holy Communion, and as you do, don't forget the bread. Not this physical bread, but the bread that it represents, the bread of life. He says, "I am the bread of heaven that has come down for you." Don't forget the bread. I can make all sorts of jokes about every time we go out to eat, how many of y'all love bread? Hallelujah. And when they forget to bring the chips and queso and the guac and the salsa, I say, "Hey, where are the chips?" Or if we go to a restaurant and they haven't brought the bread yet, I'm like, "Hey, bring the bread." We remember it in our bellies. Let's remember it in our spirits. Let's remember who God's called us to be. And so when you come today and you take communion, remember the bread, remember his power, remember his purpose for you. And if you don't know it, ask him. And then just swing by on your way out the doors, take a box of cookies, wherever you want to go, whoever you want to give it to. Okay? Now, not all of you go to Stripes across the street. Pray about it. Just think about it for 30 seconds out in the car when you get out there as a family. Boy, this is really going to scare you. I already scared you with going out. When you get in the car, take that box of cookies and say, "Lord, where do you want us to go?" Just think about it for just a minute. I bet you'll be shocked at what God calls you to do and how easy it is to respond to it. Lord, I pray over these elements today. Lord, I pray that you would use us by your power and your mercy. Lord, I pray that you would take these common elements of bread and juice, Lord, these common elements of chocolate chip cookies and M&M cookies, Lord, to show us your power today. Really is that easy. And you keep telling me it's that easy. Or let us just accept it. Let us empty ourselves so you can fill us and use us. and be the light of the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.